All right, can we rise to our feet? Let's declare the word of God together. As we start learning God's word, let us declare his word together. The Lord is good.
All the time.
Now let's declare God's word. Like I said, this is what we do to charge up our spirit so we can receive the revelation of God. It's what we're able to hear that God is saying to us that we are able to act upon and get results in our lives. It's not just what the ears hear, but what the heart understands. All right, let's declare God's word together. One, two, let's go. Now I declare a revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
That will be your portion today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The word will enter your heart today, and it will give you light and direction.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12. I just want to take a text of scripture for us to start with, and then we will take a small review. Then I teach what I have for us for today. And then, of course, we know this is we are coming to an end in this series, The True Service of God, in a short while. The book of Romans chapter 12. This is just to take it like a text, okay? Paul said, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. He now said, through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each person has one, a measure of faith. He said, we have many members in one body, just as we do, all right? And all members do not have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. He says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, each person is to exercise his gift according to the proportion of his faith. If service, exercise your gift in your serving. In your serving according to the proportion of your faith. He who teaches in his teaching should do the same thing. All right? Or he who exhorts in his exhortation. Now he who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. In answer in verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Pacific. Let me just stop here. Devoted to prayer. All right, the Lord is good. Now, we have been looking at this true service of God for some time, and then we are coming to a conclusion of it today, next time. Now, so we have been looking at that, the issue of the service of God. How do we serve God appropriately? At this point, I think I should start reviewing from the beginning some things that we have been saying. Just like when Apostle was praying just now, reminded us that we said the main service of God is what we do in our hearts, not what we do with our hands, not what we do with our time. It is what we do in our hearts. It is as we are transforming our hearts into the image of the Lord Jesus by this constant entrance of the Word of God. If God's Word is not entering your heart and changing you, you are not working for God. No matter what you are doing outwardly, if the Word of God is not entering inside you and changing you, you are wasting your time. No matter the amount of money you give to ministry, if the Word of God is not entering you and changing you, you are wasting your time. No matter how much you preach, I should emphasize that. No matter how much you preach, some people came to the Lord on the last day, or they will come, and they will say, we preached in your name. So much was the power of our preaching that we worked miracles. And he would look at them and say, I never knew you. Why? He said, you're a worker of iniquity. That is what God looks at first, is how much Christ is coming into your heart. How much Christ is being produced inside you. That is what he looks at first before he talks about any other thing. So let's bear that in mind. So when we're talking about working for God, therefore, that's where we start. We don't rush to church. You understand? The other day I was saying, no, came to talk on radio. Apostle, he said that if you enter a church, just give your life to Christ. For 2 years, you should do nothing. You should just sit in the church. For most people, they won't agree. But of me, I agreed with him totally. When you come to church, they shouldn't give, if you're a pastor, don't give people who are just giving their lives to Christ work to do. Tell them, let them understand. That's the issue. Part of what I'm trying to do is to let them understand what is important. You understand? Because if you don't do that, they can be led astray. Because if a man is coming to church and say, look, your presence and you're hearing the word and obeying it is the primary thing. And you watch him do that for months, for a year, for 2 years, he will know what is important. All right? But then if you give him, okay, look, you are going to be the one handling the microphone. Within 6 months, he thinks he has made it. You promote him, the chief singer. Are you getting my point? The one that a lot of Christians make as mistakes when they are an unbeliever musician, gives his life to Christ. You now come to church, now say, come and lead praise worship. That is not only bad, it's a sin. How can you be committing that kind of iniquity? Eh? There's a world of difference between jamming in the nightclub and leading worship. The man needs some time to consecrate his voice. That voice has been polluted and diluted and mishandled. He needs some time to consecrate it. And the consecration is not by saying, oh Lord, I will sing for you. No, it's Lord, I will not sing for a while. That is it. While we sit down and transform our hearts. Until that heart transformation is done, the outward thing is nothing. Are you picking my point here? We'll discuss that. We're just trying to review briefly, okay? So where we have been, the part we have been in now, of course, let me just take another one. One of the other things we try to explain is that it's not only what we call spiritual that is the work of God. Let's bear that in mind, because after we have worked in our hearts, God has something for us to do. But like we saw here, God has gifts for everybody, and there are different types. It is not everybody that's a preacher, primarily. That is, you say, what is your calling in life? I'm a preacher. It's not everybody. I believe, this is my own estimate, I may be wrong, that it's just less than 10%, slightly less than 10% of the church is called into that office. Most people are into the other things. What I mean is that if somebody is a teacher in a school, that is a call of God, is a ministry that God has given to the person. In fact, Paul said that through the grace given to me, my own assignment is to help you discover what you are supposed to do. That's what Paul was saying. All right? That is through the grace given to me, I say to every man not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. We looked at the example of Angelo Tono, who the call of God, that is the pressure on his soul to serve God better, was mounting and increasing. So he decided that what he needed to do was to become a missionary also. What he needed to do was to join the ministry and be ordained a reverend, a pastor. But then God arranged such a manner that the minister came to town and he went to talk to that man. And the man said, okay, we'll talk again later. When he came back to talk to the man again, the man said, listen, I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to that man too. It was a minister of the gospel. He said, God needs businessmen as much as he needs missionaries. And Lutuno just said, this is my life. And the man was possessed by the spirit of the inventor. He was possessed by the spirit of the businessman. He made a lot of money at the point in time. He was giving out 90% of his income to support missions. And I want to talk about that today. The giving ministry is the reason why I read this. He was giving 90% of his income to support the work of the ministry. 90%. 90. There was a time he sold his old company. It was worth many millions of dollars in the 70s. And then he took everything. It was in the news. That this crazy man, they knew him to be a crazy fellow. But this new one he was doing was the height of madness. He took everything and gave it out to missions. People do things like, okay, Bill Gates is spending a lot of money on malaria, HIV. Yeah, but he's spending money on things like that. All right, the other day I saw him, this was years ago. He and Warren Buffett were being interviewed by one man, and he was mentioning some diseases that they are fighting in South America. And Warren Buffett said, listen, if this guy was a doctor, it would be my doctor. Are you getting my point? He was so impressed with the knowledge that Bill Gates had. Most of his money is being spent on fighting diseases, malaria, HIV, schistosomiasis, stuff like that. Okay? Men are doing that. Angelo Tono did the other one. He sold his whole company. And all the money he got was shared out for the preaching of the gospel. You getting that point? Why? Because a man taught him long ago. God needs businessmen as much as he needs missionaries. And he understood that, and he ran with that, all right, and then it affected, of course, his generation. So we need to understand that it's not only preachers that preach that are serving God, it is all of us Christians. Even a mother who we call a full-time housewife, okay, is serving God. You must understand that. Raising children, all right, to release into this wicked generation. It is easier. People don't know what is hard in life. It's easier to run out in the morning, okay, and run up and down and make money and come back home. Sit down and have people who were born with foolishness become wise. It's not in your Bible like that. Foolishness, where is it? And a mother is supposed to transmit such foolishness, change that heart into the heart of wisdom, and make them grow wise every day. It's not a part-time job. It's not a housemaid's job. It's not a house help's job. All these people are hirelings. They give up on your child rapidly. They will. They have to. They don't have the grace. They don't have the connection. The only one that God said will not quickly forget the nursing child is the mother. God had to compare himself. How will a mother forget her child? The maid can forget. Godly children are not raised by people who are hirelings. They are not. They are raised by the parents who understand. And no matter how much you serve God, he will not bless the children if you don't give them time. I don't know whether you get my point. But I want to, give me a word now, English word. Blackmail God. You want to put him in a corner. That God will not let my children go crazy. He knows how much I have served him. God will be looking at you like this. Go and ask David. Now so he go tell you. Go and ask David. The other day, just by the way, you know, I like to gist. I was reading my Bible again. I said, David, a bad guy. His first six sons were born by six different women. Yeah. Oh, you've not noticed it before? David's first six sons were born by six different women. Did you hear that? Did you hear what I said? All the boys went mental. So what I'm trying to say is, they listen to this. David, with all the zeal, a man after God's heart. That was God's testimony. He is a man after my heart. First six sons, born by six different women. All the boys went mental. All of them. The most handsome one was a guy who didn't forgive anybody. That guy was a mafia don. Before the Italians invented cold revenge, he had it in his heart. Told the girl, don't worry. Sit down. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'll handle this. I'll handle this matter. 2 years passed. 2 years. Nothing happened. Amnon was feeling like a useless prince that he was. Feeling very happy. The Absalom killed him one day. And then he ran away. Then he returned, plotted to overthrow his father. Now, let me not sit on David. With all the serving, he served God. God said, listen. You have to sit down and teach your children. Do you know why I chose Abraham? So that he will instruct his children and his household after him in the way of righteousness. You can fight wars for me. It doesn't mean the boys will be normal. Out of mercy, God just look at one day, say, Pele, you don't try. Now give him Solomon. Who too, he tries more, but Papa don't hold that time. So David set up a team of men to teach Solomon. And he learned a lot of wisdom. But David forgot to tell him, your first six sons must not be born by six women. He forgot that part. Solomon had to learn that one by himself. By the time he learned it, was too late too. And I see men running after one woman. The other, I say, you increase your head. Men who have done it more than you, they discover that it is bad. Now, I know why I went into that, all right? So you see, raising children is a ministry. They asked Pat Robertson's wife, what have you done with your life? He said, I raised my four children. What are you leaving for this earth as your own contribution? He said, the four children that I raised. I watched it on TV. I think it was their 50th anniversary of marriage or something. And they took time out, interviewed her. And she said, the only thing I have to contribute, of course, apart from being a wife to her husband, is that I raised my four children. One day, a man was talking, his name keeps escaping me because I don't remember him, but I want to quote him, of Coral Ridge Hour. Name just escaped me now. He was talking about George Bush, Laura Bush, I think. Was Laura Bush? The wife of the senior Bush. Barbara Bush. Who is Laura? The wife of the junior one. Anyway, let's not cause confusion in the ministry. Mrs. Bush Senior. She does okay. And that's Laura or Barbara. One day the man was talking about her, he quoted what she said. Then I said that, oh, by the way, it was trying to say that, well, she's not an important woman. She's just a woman who married one president and gave birth to another. I don't know what I get the point. He was being ironic and sarcastic about it, all right? He just said, not an important woman. Just a woman who married one president and produced another. That didn't struck me, that the presidency in their life, all right, in their lives, must have been from her influence. That she was the one that made one president and gave birth to another one. Like we say in Nigeria, no be smarting. No be smarting. There was a day somebody was analyzing, when I was in Lagos, Pastor Fodi was analyzing two American presidential candidates. On the surface, they were very different. They were as far from the East. They were as far from each other as the East was is from the West. But then he went behind and pulled their wives out, and they were almost identical to each other. I don't know what I get my point here. That is, if assuming one is 50 and the other one is 70, he will show that both wives are 49. He showed that, one was born came from this part of America. He said both wives came from the same part of America. By the time he finished analyzing it, he found that those women were almost identical. The features of their lives were almost identical. What was he trying to say? That's not the men that have been president. So. Americans are choosing between two identical women. They don't know. No, these are women you don't see on the surface. And that's why you don't see them. It's the men that are running up and down. They just, once in a while, she just walks beside him. But he pointed out that if you look under the sun, you will find out that it looks like the most important thing in this season is carried inside the women. What I want to emphasize here. So bear it in mind, raising children is a ministry. It's not a part-time job. These days, people talk about it as if, you use it to fill time. The most important thing in the life of the woman is to get a very good degree, a good career, and then while pursuing it, she has two children, by the way, which is the reason why we think children are a burden. Children are a burden from the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is an harassment from him. And lucky are those that don't have too many. We turn the scripture upside down. Part of the reason is because we think it's a part-time job. And it's like cooking eggs. People say, the time you need for all of this, listen, if you are there, it costs about the same, the difference in time between raising 5 and raising 15. I'm waiting for the reaction now. The Lord is good. He said it's like a mighty man going to war. His magazine of machine gun must be full. People say, do you want to sell them? No, I want to shoot them. Load them. Wow! I can look go and conquer that territory. Wow! It's the word of God. Let's leave that one for another day. We'll do childbearing seminar next year. Apostle Naego preach that one. I may not be around that weekend. The Lord is good. Now, what I'm going to say, let me just give them my main message, okay? And that's the fact that, listen, okay? This is a fact. It is not a part-time job. It's an important job. If you see somebody who decides to do it well, honor the person. This world makes it look like, oh, you see a woman, she has achieved so much, she has a lot of money, or she's a top-level professional, or she's a professor of this and all of that. And I now see another woman who didn't go through that pathway. We unconsciously think, this woman was wise. Forget it. In this life, all these things we are pursuing, they are vanity. That's the truth. All these things are ministries. Teaching in a primary school is a ministry. I'm not joking about that, all right? It's not everything. Christians must forget this idea of calculating success in life by earning. No, don't do that. Don't do that. There are things that must be done. They must be done. I told you, there's a brother I know. Where do you teach? So university graduate. Say I teach in a primary school in Port Harcourt. I was curious, why a primary school? He said, I have a way with children. That when they are around me, they get excited. There's something about me when I'm in their presence. I won't go and sit down with adults who don't respect my presence. My grace is not with them. Are you getting my point? It doesn't manifest. That's a ministry. Please, I'm trying to emphasize again. Let me not sit down too much because I'm trying to revise everything as we're coming to an end, okay? Listen, everybody has a ministry. It's not only the preacher. Everybody has a ministry. The job of the preachers, all right, is to energize the ministry of each Christian, all right? We'll be talking about that. So where we are now is looking at the issue of giving. How do we give as working for God? Because it's a very important subject. Very important. How do we give as working for God? We have looked at it. Let me just, okay, that's where we are. So I think I should start my last review from that point. We have looked at a number of things. Giving is important. It's one major way by which we express our love for God. But let's be careful that we don't look at, don't do it the way it's commonly taught these days, which removes the spirit out of it. The good spirit is removed. We have looked at some of those things. One, we have established the fact that motive counts with God. Motive counts. Money in itself is not a seed in the realm of the spirit. It's not. Every seed has its proper field. If you want to sow corn, it must go into the earth. If you want to sow money, it must go into a financial sector. Are you getting my point? If you want to sow into the realm of the spirit, it must be a spiritual thing. So the idea of giving as a seed, it's not a tangible thing. What I mean is that it's a spiritual thing. So the spiritual traits that are the real seeds. So if I give money, the real seed is what is inside my heart while I'm giving the money. Are you getting my point here? So it's not that you can't sow 10,000 naira. It's not, that's not true. You can't do it. You can't do it. If you wanted to sow 10,000 naira, it means you bought 10,000 naira yam and you are bringing it from Benue to Enugu. That's sowing 10,000 naira. Are you getting me? Am I confusing you? You look confused. So if I invest 1 million naira, that's sowing 1 million in that sense. But if I gave it, for example, to the preaching of the gospel, I did not sow 1 million naira. What I sowed, it's the thing that's behind it. I can sow love. I can sow mercy. I can sow honor. Are you getting my point? And many Christians these days are taught to sow selfishness because they think it's just the money. But I'm saying to you again, it's not the money. It is the spirit behind it that's actually the seed. Do you understand that point? It's very important. It's the spirit that is behind it that is actually the seed. So, as believers, therefore, motive counts with God. We should bear that in mind. We'll be looking at it. So, God said in Jeremiah chapter 17, I, the Lord, I test the heart. I search the mind. These are the things I do before I give somebody a reward for the physical thing that he or she is doing. So, there are false motives. We have looked at the false motives. What are the false motives for giving? Of course, we know the issue of hypocrisy. How many people will give 1 million? Some people jump up quickly. Many people just stand up, all right? Be counted. Just stand up, be counted. That's it. I went to preach once, you know, one brother was telling me, one of the people in their church, that guy, they wanted to do it, and he has money. They wanted to do a major program. They went and approached him, bro, give us money in their church. And he promised one amount, which he never gave. He said, but is this to get the money out? Just stand in church on Sunday and say, who will give 5 million? He will jump up and he will pay. And he will give. Just announce it publicly. He will stand. But go behind and explain to him. The work of God has to be done. Please, we need this amount of money. We are trying to raise 1 million naira. How much will you give us from it? He will promise you 10,000 and he will not pay. But just go to church and announce it publicly. This morning, God wants to know his children that are faithful to him. He will be the first to jump up and he will pay. Once all the eyes are on him. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he has his reward. Very wrong motive. We all know that one. Another wrong motive is if you have been a sinner, You want to pay for your sins. That one is a double trouble for you. One, not only will your sins not be forgiven, you will even incur new sin, insulting the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second sin. Instead of you to accept his forgiveness that he has paid for by his blood, you are trying to give to do it. That's the wrong motive. We said, of course. Also, very importantly, which will surprise many Christians, another wrong motive is giving so that God can give back to you. That's also a wrong motive. You don't give like that. Say, give because you are in need. That is not a right motive. If you are in need, you pray. Are you getting me? We've talked about that. Then giving so that you can prosper is also not the right motive. You must know the principle of prosperity. The principle of prosperity, the spiritual foundation, is you have been washed away from sin. Poverty is a curse. Jesus paid. He laid down his life for you to prosper. That is number one, the foundational thing. Then a walk with God, diligence, patience. These are the spiritual laws of prosperity upon the foundation of the sacrifice of Jesus. So we are not giving because we want to prosper. What are the right motives? The primary motive for giving is love. There are two sides to love. There's love for God, which is obedience to his word, obedience to his principles. And there is love for people around you. If you see somebody who is in need, you should minister. How dwelleth the love of God in you when you are prophesying for a man to be filled, all right? Be filled, be warm. Meanwhile, there's money in your pocket. James said you are lying. You are not manifesting the love of God. So when we give like that, okay, that is a true motive, is a motive of love. So that's it. And of course, we also realize that we are faithful people. God uses people. If God wants to send somebody money, he will send somebody else. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Did you catch the way I said it?
Yes, sir.
If God wants to send you money, he will send somebody else. You won't just be good on the road. Just hear, boom, on your head. You look. You look on the floor. A bundle of naira. And the angel say, my son, thus says the Lord, pick that money. That will be stealing. That's counterfeiting. The angels are now guilty of counterfeiting currency. Where did they get it from? They stole from somebody. Or what? If he doesn't do that. If God wants to send money to somebody, he sends another person. So I'm sitting down here, I'm praying, Father God, in the name of Jesus, give me money. And the Lord will now say, okay, Chibukem, go and invest in yam and potato. You think it's for you? It's not for you. He won't say anything. He'll be working diligently. Then the day you make money, 500,000 naira. I say, good. Take 450, go and meet Banky where he's praying. Say, the Lord sent me, sir, to come and bless you. And I will do it like this, it is well with you. I collect the money and I go away. You know why I won't tell you thank you? Because I knew it was not your money. You're an errand boy, is it your own? Why are you doing shakara as if you know you have money? If it were not for God, I wanted to give you money, give me money. That truck will have entered into the ocean. That your yam will have gotten rotten. But you bought the yam, you transported, you sold it, and you made a decent profit. It's not your money, it's mine. I was the one that prayed. But because I was busy, are you getting my point? So when God wants to send money, he sends somebody else. He does that. So for us Christians, therefore, one of the motives for our giving is to be found faithful. To be found faithful. It's one of our motives for giving. We are found faithful. When Paul was speaking, he said, those who are stealing should steal no more. They should go and do what? Work with their hands. What was the purpose? So that they will have to eat. True or false? False. All right? You don't read the scripture well. He said so that they will have to give to the people who are in need. He was so emphatic on the giving side of it. That the primary reason why people labor is so that they will have to share. The primary reason why people go about doing business and doing all of these things is to have to share. But the world has turned it upside down. You labor so you will have to gather. You will lay it up for your future. Later, I'll talk about Ecclesiastes. Some people laying up and say, call my children. Solomon says, it's all madness. It's chasing after the wind. The primary reason why we labor, Paul was saying, is so that we'll have to share. You're getting my point? So we believers, when we understand that, so anytime we have money in our hands, we know that this money is not just about me. And we said, inside money, there are two things. There are two parts of money. What? Seed for the sower and bread for food. It's interesting that he said he that ministers seed to the sower and bread for food. What does that tell you? Seed for the sower is first. The primary thing in God's heart is the seed for the sower. But the world turns upside down for us. He said, God gives bread for food and remnant for the sower. This is the way the world reads it. God gives what? Bread for food and then remnant to sow. So people give offerings out of change. Like I said last time, that's why I don't have time for offering time, blessing time. If you want to give, find your way to where they are giving. That's a matter of fact. You find your way there. If you really want to give, you know, when I want to buy, assuming I look at my car and it's old and God, I need a new one and it's blessing me and I'm gathering the money, I don't sit in my house. I'm waiting for somebody to come and drop spare tire in an offering basket and drop tire rod in an offering basket. I walk over to Stallion Motors, Carven Motors, Costaris. I go over there or I go to a bank and I say to them, I need that one. And they say, okay, how much is that? I ask them, they say, it's 10 million naira. How much do you have? I say, okay, I'll call the bank guy, come. See, I have 4 million. I give you guys. I want that car by the end of today. What are you going to give me? It's okay, you pay all this amount regularly for the next 18 months, and then the car is yours totally. See the way we plan for such things. Are you okay? I say, well, let me think about it. I say, okay, what about the, what if you do like this? We'll plan. Then at the end of the day, I collect my car and I come here. And they say, oh, Banky has a new car. Praise the Lord. Everybody shout hallelujah. Did the car walk in here by itself? I proposed in my heart and I went and collected it. That is the same attitude God expects his children to have towards giving. We don't just drop to God, all right, from pocket change. No. Anything, I don't want to say the word God now because he's in everything. He's in everything. I said before, you give to propagation of the gospel and those who are ministering along that line. You give to those you're supposed to honor. You give to those who are poor. You give to those who are in need. And you also give to yourself periodically as celebration. All of these things are what? Giving to God. And there are things you propose in your heart to do. Please, I'm just revising because we are coming to a close on this thing. So the last bit we are on, I'm still talking about that issue of money and our giving as a way of giving to the Lord. Remember what I said earlier? The proportion is your business. One day, somebody wrote a mail. Or they sent a message. I think I replied. No, I was preaching somewhere. So they wrote letters and they wrote questions. Shall I give my whole January salary to my church as first fruit? You know my answer. I said, it's your money. You do anything you like with it. That was my answer. That was my answer. Why should I be the one deciding what you do with your money? But if your question is, did God command it? No, your pastor did. But should you do it? It's your money. When God has given you understanding, you will settle down and apportion your money appropriately. Like I say all the time, you go to a church. They have bills to pay. If they write a letter to Dangote, it is a sin. To come and help, yeah, it's true, it's a sin. To come and help them pay. It is those who are there that God expects. No, your pastor shouldn't be every time believing God for money. Yeah, I'm not saying you should not believe God though, but try and reduce the amount of faith he's spending on money matters. If the man comes today, we want to pray about money, Father God in that name, and pastor, come, excuse me. How much did you say? I get 1.5. Here's a check for 1.45. Let your dad will contribute 50,000, pastor. You know, he'll stop that prayer. He'll change it to Thanksgiving. Father, we worship you in the name of Marakalabo. Ask this man of God. I know what I'm saying. Prayer of request turns to Thanksgiving when brethren behave themselves. All this casting out of demons because of poverty is bad behavior on the part of the people of God. Say, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit holding our money. You see, he's not a spirit, man of God. Forget it. It's all these people that are holding the money. It's a spirit. Fat spirit that says that will not prosper. Which spirit in the church? It's all these boys and girls who have used God's money to buy Brazilian hair. Oh God, let me not do my prayer in that area today. You know, once I've told this testimony many times. I'm the president of my alumni fellowship. Once they told me that our account did not balance. I've been in ministry for some time. I'm just not used to account not balancing. Because one of the things that God taught me, all right, is how to take my life bit by bit. You know, step by step. Here a little, there a little. So usually, I'm not used to account, no balance. So they say, why? We are short by how much? They said 2 million naira. 2 million naira. Let us pray. Prayer matter didn't come up. Give me the microphone. So in the evening, I stood. I said, brethren, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't tell them the amount, though. because I know I don't do that. I don't like putting pressure on people. I just say, brethren, you see, some of us are not behaving properly. God is increasing us. We are pretending as if he's not increasing us. That's what I said. I said, brethren, please, as God is blessing you, let it reflect in how you are releasing. According to Bishop Oyedepo those days, he said that if you go to the open field where different animals do the poo-poo, are you getting my point? That you can see the rat one, tiny like this. The elephant too, you see size. He said the day you see an elephant doing the doo-doo like a rat, you know there's a problem. He said, you know that it's about to die. He said, so you have to do it appropriately. So I told my brethren, as all of now they grow like elephants, so I want to see your offering being elephantic. Hallelujah. One brother got up from there, went outside, brought out his phone. Phew! 1 million naira. I said, hey, this is what we are talking about. No prayer. We did not pray. What we just did was say, brethren, God has blessed you. Why are you making me pray? Too many pastors are praying on things that shouldn't be prayer points. They should be praying that, Father, in the name of Jesus, tomorrow morning as we begin to minister, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the dead will be raised in the name of Jesus. Miracle. Not Father, send money. That's a bad prayer point. And it's church members that cause it. Pastor will now spend all night confessing on finances in the name of Jesus. We'll receive money. Thank God I'm not an angel. I'm for the flog people. I just say, you come. Why is your pastor confessing on money? And you are paying bank $150,000 a month because you want to drive fine Hyundai. If I bust the tire now, you say I'm wicked as an angel. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let me come here. I'm enjoying my gist. When we get to heaven, when God wants to judge, you know there are all kinds of pastors out there. There are all kinds of pastors. There are liars who call themselves pastors. They are thieves. Jagudas. You know what they call jagudas? That's Yoruba word for thug. Some of them are out there. So we're not talking about them. We're talking about real pastors. Amongst the real pastors, when it comes to money, there are two sides. There are those who are very disciplined. They will never beg you for money. They will never twist the word of God for money. Amen. Amen. May you be that kind of pastor in Jesus' name. Amen. That's my desire too. But there's another side. Not all men have faith. People have different levels of faith. When school fees is due, they start preaching all kinds of doctrines. In the name of Jesus, as you sow into the life of the man of God, as his life is growing, you too will be growing. God didn't say so, but I mean, the man has to encourage you to believe it. Why? Because money has to flow. So God doesn't like that. It's called twisting the word of God, adulterating it. So God normally collects cane and flogs people for such things. So when he wants to flog, you know what he does? He calls the pastor, stand here. Let me flog you. Or before I flog you, call that man for me. You stand here. And that man said, good, I'm going to testify against you today. I was in church as we were twisting the scriptures. So God says, all right, how much cane are we giving for this lie they lied to this Sunday morning? The angel will say, sir, you said 15. It's okay. See that man of God giving 5. See that brother beside him giving 10. So the man will look like, what? Sir, I'm not a preacher. He said, I know you're not a preacher. But why is the preacher lying? You used his money to lay foundation. You wanted to give it before, but because they said cement went up because of recession, you cut the offering of the man of God. You now provoked him to lying. I will flog him for lying. But you, for inciting lying. Listen to me. Before you start criticizing men of God, ask yourself, am I part of the problem? Because if I was a preacher, I would never lie like that. Listen. I pray for grace never to lie like that. But I also understand, if your children knock on your door and say, Daddy, can we have one to buy bread and egg this morning to eat? And you say to them, go, I'm coming. And they say, there's nowhere to go, we have dressed. You need extra grace. Jesus saw the cross. He ran to go and pray. If obedience was so easy, why was Jesus praying? If obedience was so easy, why was the Lord praying? He
He would have said, bring it on. Bring on the cross. Bring it on. He didn't say that to me. And when he was going to pray, he said, please watch with me. Sometimes you need to financially watch with a man of God. One said he did one thing one day. He brought a new car for pastor's meeting. And so the other men were saying, the other men of God, see your car. Omo, what happened? He said, this one. It's a prophetic car. How did he say? Now one brother from my church. He said, look, no do. We did that. This man bought the first car. We did pray, we did prophesy, we did minister. He bought the second car. We are praying, we are prophesying. We are ministering the word. He bought a third car. He said, my people, now I'm not coming prophecy. I'm not joking. What I'm telling you is not a joke. He said, I'm not coming prophecy. He said, the guy was so resistant, he didn't move. Now I'm not coming another one day. He said, finally, one day when he didn't move, I went to him. I said, see, when God kills you, you obey him? He said, that day, after service, now I enter my office, drop the key. Say, now I'm to be that. It's when you have not passed out for long, you won't know why the man is reacting like that. I'm not saying you should react like that too. I told you, Apostle, the other day, after I judged everything, I prayed to God, because there's nothing like saying, I'm a strong man, it doesn't matter. You can be saying it right now, because your car is still bigger than that of most people you are pastoring. When they start blind private jet and you are still calling the chuku, come and check my brake. Now you go wonder, I say, God, that man, he will never fly again. They won't know why you are sitting in your house. So before that plane takes off, don't let it crash in the air. Let FAA and ground him in Jesus' name. Amen. I've told you before, that one I'm going to do that one. That one I'm sure. This one I want to tell you now. I'm going to do it. Come to me one day and say, man of God, come and bless my private jet. I will go. You won't know what I plan for you. I will just get there, I'm standing like this. So let us pray, brethren. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this beautiful bird here. Thank you because it will never crash. It will never crash. How can it crash when it will never fly? Oh, you know, I go pop that. Say, Pastor, what did you say? I said, in the name of Jesus, this thing will not fly from here. You will be paying ground rent to FAAN until your spirit wakes up and knows the will of God. You now look at me and say, Pastor, please, explain the will of God. How much is this thing? I've seen where Cos Charis is selling BMW X6. Go and bring one. Lexus, and today, LS570, plus the Infiniti QX92. There's nothing like that, but they will do it because of you. Park the three of them here. Let me share to me. And then, like, two Camrys. Put all of them together. Let man of God drive. Let the men in the ministry drive. Before you start flying like an idiot around the place. We're flying anyhow. Rubbish flying. I mean, you cannot fly until everybody's walking properly. Only you just be walk or just be fly. Wait. Just then, we'll go. You won't see where to land. What we plan for you? We'll have packed all our old cars. Udejuku. Bring that old Passat. Park him across the wrong way. You say, let me go and light in the worry. I don't call person for worry. When your fuel wants to drive, say, Pastor, I beg now. I say, confess. Declare after me in the name of Jesus. As I land, straight to Corcharis. As I land, to Stallion Motors. As I declare, like, I will now move the cars. You will now land. You'll be inciting men of God to sing. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So that is why God will just get up one day when he's sharing the flogging. The man who twisted the scripture shall be flogged. The man who incited the twisting by his responsibility shall collect more than half of it. So we Christians, to avoid stories that touch, we make sure that every part of life that God has ordained us to participate in, we do it. We give for the propagation of the gospel. We give to those God said we should honor. Every day you go home, Honor your parents. I've said that one. I don't want to teach that message again. All right? Help those who are in need. These are things, and like I said last time, these are things we determine and we propose in our hearts and we plan for. We plan for it. It's end of the year. Your company, you declare everything at the end of the year. You know, at the end of this year, you have a few millions that come into your pocket. It's seed for the sower first before bread for food. So you plan for it. How am I sharing it? So like I was saying, it's your personal decision. Nobody's making anything compulsory for you. You share it as God has given you understanding. As God has given you a burden. As God has given you revelation. When I say revelation, I don't mean any big word. I just mean that if you find out there are six young men, young women that God has placed across your path for you to make sure they are guided through school without any stress. University, I'm talking about now. They say, you know how much it's going to cost. So you structure it. All right? You structure it. This is how much it cost me to help these young men, young women. You structure it. That's how you share the thing out. Just remember, it's Jesus first, yourself last. Joy, why? Remember? Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. If you structure it like that, it is not difficult to give. Everybody has something to give. If they have not yet hooked themselves up with too much debt. Like I said last time, you know the Brazilian hair that Agbery is going to remove from some people's head. 6 months, they are paying for Brazilian hair. And they say, go to church, say, I don't have money to give. How can you have money to give? You are giving the woman who is selling her. But if you do it properly, you put yourself last. They will say, buy this Brazilian. I say, sorry, I can't afford it. Why? Look at the other things I still have to do. Then one day, God leads to the level where Indian woman will donate hair to you. Mexican woman will donate hair to you. Brazilian. If sometimes God can even bless you, you will grow it by yourself. Are they not all growing it now? They call it Nachi. Natural hair. They are all growing it now. It's a revelation from God. And if God blesses you, your own will come out rich and thick. The Lord is good. So those are the things that, oh God, I'm preaching my message all over again, but I need to just emphasize these things to brethren, okay? Now, but there's one part I read at the beginning, which is the main thing I want to talk about today. Let's just go back there again to refresh our minds concerning what we're talking about. Romans chapter 12. Even though I've done a lot of repetition, it's because we're coming to a close in this series, and I just want to drum, I want to emphasize these things properly. That's why I'm doing a lot of repetition, until people are established in the truth. Our aim is that Christians must be generous and cheerful givers. Generous and ready to share. Romans chapter 12, we read that just now, I just want to pick out the scripture again. He said, we all have grace that differ according to the gifts given to us. Each one is to exercise his own gift accordingly. He now said that I just quoted verse 6 now. We have gifts that differ according to the grace. What is grace? The ability. That's the ability that God has given you. I'm reading New American Standard. It says, each is to exercise his own grace, his gift accordingly. Some have the gift to prophesy. So prophesying comes out of them easily. Some have the gift to teach. Like I'm teaching now, I don't struggle to teach. I don't. I'm being honest with you. If I did not even know I could teach, until people testified about it from the time I was in university, I don't struggle to do it. It's called grace. It's called grace. Are you getting my point here? Uh-huh. So I exercise my gift many times a week. I'm teaching. I'm writing. He said in the service, some are, their job is to serve. He now said, I'm just jumping different ones now. Let's now go down to verse 8. He who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality. Now notice that. What was he saying here? There are people that have the gift to give. That they have a giving ministry. That's how I like to explain it. Some people have it. And that is always backed by grace. What is grace? Power to make something easy. Now, all of us should communicate the gospel. All of us should be able to teach the word of God to somebody. But we are not all teachers by our ministry and our gifts. In the same manner, every Christian should give. That's a matter of fact. Every Christian should give. What I've given us so far is the general principles for everybody. It applies to everybody. All of us will contribute something for the propagation of the gospel. If you are in a home and you have parents and God has lifted you and your siblings up, you are now earning. You must show them honor. God will bring people that are less than you financially for you to help.
Everybody must do that. But beyond all of this, there are people that God said your own primary assignment in life, okay, is to give. Just like some people are preaching. God said, listen, if you are in a church, not only a church, let me not think of church alone. Sometimes you are in a family, okay? You have four siblings, you have five siblings. Life is not always shared equally.